Healthcare was a big area of concern for voters this election, with Labor promising a significant boost in the sector, particularly through Greater Adelaide and in the Hills Fleurieu region. Joining me for the views of the SA branch of the Australian Medical Association is Vice President Port Lincoln GP, Dr. John Williams. Hi, Dr. Williams.
Hi. How are you doing, Jenny?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Now, the AMA president tweeted about the Labor win, saying one of the main differences between the parties was future health policy. Would you agree with this sentiment?
Yes. I mean, clearly Labor based their election push on health, and I think that really reflects the community concerns around health. So I believe that's why they did so well.
How do Labor's promises stack up with the AMA SA's wish list?
Look, they certainly look really good. It's great that they've offered some support to some of the rural LHNs. Of course, you know, we'd like it to see it across all of rural. Yes, I mean, it all looks very promising. I guess, you know, we'd really like to see delivery on this. There's been lots of delays. It's been a long time in the making, the way the health system is at where it's at. So really it needs a lot of hard work and as soon as possible to, you know, improve the health of South Australians.
Right. So from what I understand, this particular investment in Adelaide Metro and Hills Fleurieu, those areas, you know, that, you know, there is concern in the, for example, the South Coast community of the Fleurieu and through the hills, because it's a really growing region. So I think from what I understand, extra paramedics, another base as well on the South Coast, another hospital in the hills. Do you think that's much needed?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. All of those things are definitely needed. We'd just like to see it across the whole of the state, particularly the fragile edges of our healthcare system and our community.
Yeah, so regional areas. What about areas like the Murray Mallee and Murraylands? Because I know that some people really have to travel quite far in some circumstances to get support.
Yeah. I mean, exactly the same problems. I guess, you know, it's difficult. You know, one of the problems with the state government and the federal government, you know, I know the state government is tasked with hospitals, basically, and the federal government with primary care, community care. But it's the gap between these that's really part of the problem. I really like to see, you know, the state and federal come together over a lot of these issues. And rather than, you know, back passing and cost shifting, you know, to move things around, it's all of that kind of, all of those machinations really just don't solve the problem at all. So it's really time for the states and the federal to work together to help solve these problems. It's very complicated. It's really hard for anyone to understand, but especially for the public, because, you know, the way, the difference in the funding and the complexity of health. And this is where we really like to see leadership from the state government in dealing with these problems head on, and to really see, you know, the outcome for our patients. I think, you know, really, it really impacts on GPs. You know, when we have patients come in, and we know that they have needs. So, for instance, I saw a patient with mental health problems that had driven, 2 hours just to see me to help, you know, to look for help, and then. We made a diagnosis and we, you know, worked out what was needed. And for them to get the psychology help that they needed in rural was going to take at least 12 weeks. So they'd driven 2 hours desperate to talk to me, and only to be told that, you know, they had to wait 12 weeks to see a psychologist, which was the most important part of their treatment.
And then things can really spiral, can't they, in that amount of time?
That's right. I mean, I felt ashamed to be there sitting in front of the patient to know what they needed, and it's not rocket science. It's not, you know, something unknown. It's not new research. This is stuff that we know for sure, and And to tell them that it was going to be 12 weeks before they could get those services, I feel, you know, ashamed to be part of a health system that can't meet people's needs.
Right. And also about preventative measures. What sort of preventative measures would you like to see, you know, more investment in South Australia?
Yeah. I mean, this is what we know. You know, talk to any GP about this. If we can get services early, you know, especially with chronic disease, aged care, mental health, all of those areas which are particularly fragile. If we get services in early, we can prevent things getting worse. So, for instance, the patient, you know, with mental health problems, you know, 12 weeks might mean the difference between them, you know, needing hospital admission or them picking up the pieces and getting on with their life. So, you know, it's not really rocket science. We just need to be able to provide the services when they're needed to people when they're at their time of need. You know, that would be great to be able to, you know, just, you know, give the services to people when they really need it.
Dr. John Williams, the ramping issue is a very contentious one. From what I understand, though, I could be wrong here, but is it more about the way that the new hospitals are being designed with fewer beds like the Royal Adelaide, which is adding to the problem of ramping? What do you understand about why ramping is such a big issue?
Yeah, I mean, it's got multiple problems. I mean, when patients come into ED, it's getting them out of ED is really, you know, obviously important if there's a problem with that. So if there's not bed availability, then that holds things up. And again, mental health is, you know, a chief area of concern. You know, we know that if we were able to sort out the bed problem for mental health problems, we would probably significantly improve the ramping problem.
Right. And is part of that as well the fact that people maybe can't afford to see their GP, so they're going to ED instead?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And also their access, so their GPs are busy. So they're not able to get in as quickly as they want to. And cost, you know, some practices charge a gap, which is quite reasonable. We know that Medicare is underfunded. Primary care, general practice is underfunded, and to provide a quality service, we often do need to charge a gap. So, but that only adds to the inequity of the system. So supporting general practice, giving general practice the resources to provide excellent care, will help prevent people going to ED as well. So it's on both ends of that, you know, before and after ED.
Mm. Are you feeling hopeful with a change now?
Yes. I mean, I really feel glad that health is, you know, at the top. Clearly, in the public's eyes, it's important. And that's what we need, the support of the public to help fix our health system. Because I think, you know, people know, everyone knows that, you know, this is just a basic requirement in our community. It's about access health when you need it. Mm. And this is how society functions well. So it's great to, you know, feel that the public understand that. And with that behind us, I think we can really get some support from government.
I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us, Dr. John Williams.
Thanks, Jane.